Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra with the WGXC Morning Show, and we have a busy morning show for you today. We are going to hear from Carmen Borgia from the Ukuleles Unleashed show in WGXC. They're doing a live performance for their show this Tuesday at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, covering the entirety of Harry Nilsson's The Point on ukuleles, and you can attend in person. You can also attend the Third Saturday's film series in Athens, the Riverfront Park, put on by the Athens Cultural Center. Board member Lisa Thomas will tell us about Nomadland playing there this weekend and other films this summer. They both talk to WGXC hosts Sella Graham and Tom DiPietro on the WGXC Morning Show this morning. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
News. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
It's WGXC 90.7 FM.
Right.
Accra.
Keep going.
Hudson, Catskill, Phoenicia, and lots
Phoenicia.
Of other places.
That's an interesting addition.
And Valencia.
And
or
Valencia.
As they usually call it when you first land in Columbia County.
Valati.
Valati.
Very well done. Did you mention the online way
and
to hear?
Online at WGXC.org.
Yes.
Do you enjoy the arts, have an interest in art classes and meeting your local creative community? Then join us at the Athens Cultural Center on the first Friday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. View our latest exhibition over free nibbles and drinks hosted by our ACC board members and get to know us. We are at 24 2nd Street in Athens and online at athensculturalcenter.org. We look forward to meeting you.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth Lojudis of Hanacroy, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra with the WGXC Daily News for Friday, July 14th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Another fierce storm moved through the Hudson Valley July 13th, closing roadways and railways with a tornado warning in the Catskill area into Columbia County. Amtrak trains heading north stopped in Rhinecliff with trees down throughout the area. Route 9G was also closed with detours in Germantown and Tivoli. The Highway Drive-In movie theater in Coxsackie was hit with the severe storm, with the kitchen flooded and the entire theater closed for the evening. Power remained out for some hours after the storm passed, with 3,500 people in Columbia County without power at one point. In all, there were three tornado warnings issued in the area during the storms. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that an appellate court on July 13th sided with Democrats and said congressional lines should be redrawn in New York. In 2022, Republicans flipped several New York congressional districts their way, helping them regain a majority. Political observers believe if Democrats get the districts redrawn the way they want, they could hold the 18th congressional district and flip the 19th congressional district in 2024 voting. Republican John Faso, who used to represent the 19th district in Congress, said of the Democrats, quote, "They're trying to eliminate a state redistricting plan that has the most competitive districts in the United States of America," unquote. Now the case goes to New York's top court, now led by Governor Kathy Hochul's recent appointment, Chief Judge Rowan Wilson. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. H. Roach Snyder reports for the Times Union that the Bethlehem Public Library's drag story hour went on as planned July 13th. On July 10th, a crowd of around 60 people spoke both for and against the event at the library's Board of Trustees meeting. Albany drag performer Noelle Diamond read from "Not All Princesses Dress in Pink," They, She, He, Easy as ABC, and "Not Quite Narwhal," in front of a crowd of just under 200 people. Library Director Jeff Kilpatrick said, quote, "There were some folks who were not in agreement with the program, but they came and everybody was respectful," unquote. Lauren Jack attended the event and said, quote, "If no one had talked about it or tried to organize against it, I feel like it would have just been a normal library event," unquote. Read more about this story in the Times Union, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
I'm Tom Rowe with the WGXC weather forecast from the National Weather Service in Albany, who predict a 70% chance of rain on Friday, with a high near 81 and a wind southeast 5 to 7 miles per hour spinning local windmills. There's a 40% chance of rain on Friday night, with a low around 64 and a southwest wind 3 to 5 miles per hour. Saturday, a 40% chance of showers and possibly thunderstorms after 2 p.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high of 85 and a low around 67. And then Sunday, there's an 80% chance of showers, possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m., with a high near 80 and a low around 66. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
This is WA3QIZ. Do you read me?
Seymour, isn't it about time you made a real friend?
Mother, please, I'm communicating with my fellow hams.
How do I talk? Push this button here. You're all losers!
Oh,
Next, Sella Graham and Tom DiPietro speak with Carmen Borgia about the Ukuleles Unleashed live performance show on the radio and at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill on Tuesday, July 18th, where they're covering Harry Nilsson's The Point on ukuleles.
There's going to be a show, and you'll give us all the details, where you're going to play the soundtrack to The Point. Now, I happen to love The Point because I'm a huge Harry Nilsson fan. And Harry Nilsson, until I got this new co-host, Harry Nilsson's song Thursday was my theme song for this show. Obviously enough, right?
You always trying to get me in trouble. You always trying to get me in trouble, Playboy.
You didn't like it.
It's a little dry. It's a little dry.
Well, so is, well,
anyway,
for you.
Okay. We're not here to convert anyone to Harry Nilsson, but we do have a very beautiful Harry Nilsson piece. So I am on another WGXC show, John Sturman and I. We host Ukuleles Unleashed, which is the third Tuesday of each month. And for the past 2 years, I've just decided I want to have at least some of the show be live. And so I haven't really had a band at first, and it was COVID. And so I started, I would take the first hour of the show and play stuff by myself. So over the past year, we've done sets of, like, Randy Newman, Commander Cootie, The Roaches was the most recent one we did. And what we do is we pick a song, or I pick a band or a set or an album, and we play through it basically on ukulele. So
nice.
It's like a musical sketch, and I sing it. And then any band members I can get to join me, I do. So
nice.
Lately we've had various band members. So on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, the 18th, we're going to do the entirety of the Harry Nilsson soundtrack. We're going to call it a soundtrack, but it's sort of the CD, really. I'll explain that in just a second. For a very sweet fairy tale.
Like, animated.
There's pieces of reality missing from it, no question.
And animated.
It's a beautiful, I love it. It's a beautiful fairy tale, as I think of it. And it was done, I guess, in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It was an animated one-off TV special. And I want to say it was in Canada. I don't know if that's true. It was Canadian broadcast. It was narrated by Robin Alan Thicke, and animated, very cool looking for the time. I never knew about that. I didn't see that. That wasn't on TV where I grew up. But somewhere in the 80s, I picked up a copy of the whole thing on CD. And I don't know if it's still available that way online, but the CD is just the soundtrack, and it's about a little less than 40 minutes long. Harry Nilsson does the narration, so there's no animation to go with it, so it's perfect for radio. There are 7 really lovely Harry Nilsson songs, and so I'll be singing probably a lot of those. We will be joined by a friend of mine, Nancy Giles, who will be narrating, and because we don't want anyone to have too heavy a load, she'll be splitting it up with Allison Davey and Dave Kelsey, so we'll have a few narrators. And then I'll play the songs. Nancy will probably sing some with me. Bob Goldberg, a local composer, a friend from New York, will be joining us. He'll be playing accordion, and I would guess he would sing some too. And then, because I'm overly ambitious, I have been egging on. I have Saturday ukulele jams, and so I've been putting together a little ukulele ensemble that'll help strum in key places and make it hyper extra beautiful.
Excellent.
The whole thing will be happening on Tuesday at
Tuesday.
Bridge Street Theater.
Bridge Street
here
Theater.
In Catskill on yep. And we're doing it as a benefit for WGXC and for the Bridge Street Theater. It's a total informal, there's no admission. It's gonna be a pass the hat benefit.
Oh, that's great.
We'll
you
have
never have those
GXC
around anymore.
There.
That's great.
If you need a bumper sticker or something like that, we might be able to help you out. And but we're getting there to celebrate the fact that we have such a cool radio station that we can play this kind of stuff on, and that won't give me any guff if I want to play, a musical theater piece that I think is going to be
right.
Sweet and nice and fun.
So remind me again, Carmen, Tuesday at what time?
It's just
Tuesday at what
Tuesday,
time?
Tuesday, we will go on the air
at 8 p.m.
8 p.m.
And so you can tune in and listen to WGXC live, just like you always do on Tuesday, because I know everybody always tunes in to my
that's
show.
That's right.
So
oh, that's you when your show normally
Tuesday,
is?
Or you can come to... I'm sorry, say that again?
That's when your show normally is, right? Tuesday, 8 p.m.?
Our show is ordinarily, yes, it's Tuesdays, the third Tuesday of each month, from 8 to 10 p.m. So that is this coming Tuesday, the 18th, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And John's going to host. It's going to be kind of like a party at the Bridge Street. So we'll make the Bridge audience Street. So we can hear them hoot and holler if they do that. You know, it's the middle of it's kind of, I do ukulele jams on Saturdays. One of them is at the Chatham Library, so that's free for people. I passed the hat at one in Catskill. And so this is like a little ukulele club, and, you know, it's a reason we have to play some songs together. So that's the basics of it. Ask me more. Tell me things about Harry Nilsson. I don't know, because there must be some.
Oh, boy. Harry Nilsson went out of this world in not the best way. You know, he was very self-indulgent in his later years.
What do you mean when you say self-indulgent? You mean wine?
Booze and drugs. Okay. And one of his cohorts during...
And this would have been during the cocaine. And probably would have been, like, he must have been a high... He died young, like early 50s, right?
And in those years, he was hanging out with John Lennon. When John Lennon went on his walkabout, if you recall that period in John Lennon's life, his cohort was Harry Nilsson. Now, Nilsson had an amazing career because it was all over the place. Nilsson was really in the tradition of the great American songwriters because he could write in every genre. I mean, anybody who's heard, say, The Point versus that song Jump Into the Fire, which is completely different, and, you know, Everybody's Talking at Me, which he sang. I mean, he was all over, and he was great at all of it. He was he was an amazing musician-composer. And he did a lot of studio work as well out in California in the day. Did you ever hear the song he wrote to his wife when they were in the middle of a divorce?
I don't remember. I don't know the story.
It's called. It's called Go Blank You.
No.
And he recorded it too. It's on one of his albums.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you're breaking my heart. You're tearing it apart.
Yeah.
It's the last track of Nilsson Schmilsson.
There
right?
you. Yeah.
Nilsson
now,
Schmilsson.
Now Nilsson Schmilsson, I was a total sucker for.
Me too. Me too.
I had that on vinyl. It's a super tight collection of short pop songs that are. And, you know, it came from an era when, like, a lot of bands were really popular, but he was just one guy, and he must not have toured, right? He was more of a studio.
Yeah, he was more of a studio musician.
Guy.
I'll never forget. I wonder who's kissing her now.
He drugged himself out, basically, at an early issue.
Yeah, sadly. So we're talking to Carmen Borgia, who is not a Renaissance murderer, but a ukulele player. I'm sure some of my listeners actually get that reference, but... a ukulele man, and I love
ukulele. I love that reference.
Yeah. So I have a BFF who's quite a ukuleleist. Is that a term? Ukuleleist?
You can make it one.
Okay. You may have heard
because
of him.
Ukulele is sure.
You may have heard of him. His name is Stephen Merritt.
he's fantastic.
I know. Isn't he great? Has he ever played with you guys?
No, I don't know. I've never met him personally. I've seen him play a few times.
Okay, maybe we'll make that happen, you know?
He's among the best songwriters there are.
Isn't he incredible?
I mean, he's...
His songs are phenomenal.
Fantastic.
And he's still at it, and he's still playing the ukulele. And I love the ukulele. It's just so basic and simple and beautiful and, you know.
What wife was it that he wrote the song about? Because he had several.
I think it was his first. I don't know. Oh, no, you're looking him up over there?
It couldn't be the first one because that was only 2 years.
Oh, okay. So it's the second one. We're not talking about Stephen Merritt now. We're talking about Nilsson.
Stephen Merritt. Well, the go-to for me with Stephen Merritt would be 69 Love 69 Songs,
Love
Magnetic
Song.
Fields.
Yep.
It's a 3-CD set. It's just a super great thing to just, like, it's so many good songs. Nicely put together, not overcomplicated production.
Yeah.
Now, just really about the songs.
Now, on your show...
it kind of makes you feel like...
How often do you guys play on your show, or do you just play other people who play the ukulele?
Well, every month I do something live.
Oh.
And so that's run by me, usually. Like I said, last month we did a set of songs by the Roaches.
Oh, right.
And the month before that, we did Randy Newman. Or maybe it was the other way around. So for the past year, I did like 10 of these where, you know, I picked an artist, you know, for each thing. And then I, you know, learned the songs to the extent that I could play them and hustle a little band together. You know, the idea with the Uke Jams on the Saturdays, which is, you know, sort of, it's for me, it's practicing in public. It's a little bit of music therapy. It gives some of us a reason to get together and just bang through a bunch of songs for an hour and a half. It's something I recommend people do, you know, with music, to just get their hands on it one way or another.
So
and
how hard
play
is
a
it?
Song that, what's that?
How hard is it to adapt a, oh, look, we're joined by, I think we're being joined by John Sturman. Is that his name, John Sturman?
That's going to be John Sturman. I'd recognize his badge anywhere.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Oh, there he is. And this is Ukuleleist number two of the Catskill Ukulelians. Yeah. Well, that sounds something like from outer space. I was asking Carmen, how hard is it to adapt a somebody else's songs to the ukulele? I mean, is there really a kind of simple transition?
It's pretty straightforward, you know. If you can get a hold of a chord chart, and you know, so the books we strum out of, you know, they're all about just strumming a uke. Like, it's not about a complicated thing. So it's you get yourself a little shung shung a shung a shung.
Ah, I see.
Going on the you can kind of just get sort of a.
Ah, love it.
So just you can get like a little simple. So it's pretty easy just with a person. It's not loud, so there's not an expectation that you're supposed to like blow down the block or have the police come or that your amplifier is not big enough. And so, you know, I encourage people of even like they just picked up a ukulele and they don't really know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Come over to one of our jams and we'll show you how to start strumming it.
I have known love, and at times it was a simple love, gentle and kind, with murmurs and whispers as we drift asleep. There is no fire left in me now. There is no fire left in me now. I have known love, and at times it shook me to the core, tender yet cruel, consuming and desperate as the night burns on. There is no fight left in me now. There is no fight left in me now. Times it was a grieving love. Come to me now and cling to me tightly as the end draws near. there is no fight left in me now. There is no fight left in me now.
From Kopeck, PG6 there with the first with his first new music in over a decade with I Have Known Love from 2023. Next on WGXC, we hear from Athens Cultural Center board member Lisa Thomas about the center's ongoing Third Saturdays film series at the Athens Riverfront Park with Nomadland screened there on Saturday, July 15th.
Yes, I'm showing films in the park in Riverfront Park for the Athens Cultural Center. I'm on the film board there.
Oh. Riverfront Park, where is that located?
In Athens?
Is it?
Yeah.
It's in Athens, right on the river. Do you guys know where the Stewart House is?
Absolutely.
Are you familiar with the Stewart House in Athens?
And it's right beyond
that.
It's like
right across from their garden, you know, outdoor garden. There's a big park there on the river, and we've been showing movies there for about 3 years.
Oh, so this is not a new project. You, by the way, you used to be a GXC programmer, right? No? Yes?
Yes, I was one of the founding radio DJs back when the station first started. I was on for 4 years. I did a show called The Score for 4 years.
Oh, I do recall it. And you did musical scores from movies, right?
Yeah, we did film and television soundtracks and tried to bring in composers and things like that from the projects, yeah.
That's cool. So tell us the details of these shows and when are they out in the films?
Yeah, so basically we're about midway through our free film series this summer. It's on the third Saturdays. Every month, unless it's raining, and then we punt it over to the Sunday, the third Sunday. But this particular month, we're showing Nomadland, which we're super excited about. And the film's producer, Peter Spears, who's also
Peter Spears,
a different Peter Spears, by the way,
is going to come on out. Yeah, he's going to come and do a Q&A with us.
Oh, that's cool. So, what's your, I mean, do you have
so.
Go ahead.
We basically do five films every summer. We start in May and we go through September. So we're about halfway through.
Oh, okay.
Once we do this one this weekend, this Saturday.
The third Sunday of every month through the summer. And what's the project is called just, what, is there like an overall name for it?
Free Athens. It's Athens Cultural Center, third Saturdays. So it's the third Saturday of every month.
Cool.
Free film series.
And do you have like
Yeah, we started this year with War of the Worlds, and then we showed, for Pride Month, we showed Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, and then this month we're showing Nomadland. And, we got some other great films. You know,
that's great.
For August and September as well.
And what's the advantage of to listeners who are like wondering why would I go outside and watch these films when I can watch them on my screen at home? What do you say to that?
I say you're at home all the time. You should go out and be in the park with people and see your friends and watch the movie together. Like, for example, I watched Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, over the winter when we were considering programming it for the series. Not nearly as fun watching it by myself at home or with one other person. So much better laughing with my neighbors in the park, and all the great comedy in that film. So it's just, it's a really nice thing. We started it during COVID because, you know, people were nervous about going inside and all of that. And, you know, all the theaters were closed. And it was very popular during COVID and a safe way for people to get together.
I have a question.
You know, see movies when the theaters and cinemas were closed.
I have a question. Are you using the headphones for listening, or are you? Is it just speakers outside?
It is just speakers outside. That's a very good point, though. We should be showing maybe the closed captioning for the hearing impaired.
I think the best defense is that. Well, I assume you have a much bigger screen than you could ever get at home. Although some people have these home screens that are gigantic. But still, you're right. It's more fun to see a movie with other people. Although I got to tell you, I went to Asteroid City 2 weeks ago, and I think there were five of us in the theater. So I think people are still avoiding being inside theaters. So outside is great. The sounds from the river ever drown you out?
No. I don't recall that anybody coming off the river has ever drowned us out. If anything, we've drowned them out.
Oh, that's
we
good.
Have really good speaker system. Mike Schumacher, who runs around and has been doing sound, he was doing sound at Club Helsinki and does a lot of like sound for live events around the country.
I know.
He sets up the sound and projection.
I think he used to work here at the station.
Yeah, he's our...
Jack Schumacher?
Very possible. I'm not sure about that, but he's definitely like the guy to get, and we've been lucky enough to have him for our third run at the film series. So
this Saturday,
he sets it all up. And
wait, not this Saturday. Was this the third Saturday? I can't remember where we are in the. It is the third Saturday, right?
It is. It doesn't feel like it. No. The month is just zooming on by. Yeah,
so that's
the third Saturday is coming
right up. What is that? The fifth? It's the 15th. The 15th. What time?
So the Q&A with the producer of the film, Peter Spears, will be starting at 8 o'clock. The film basically begins around sunset, so we're looking at like 8:30 p.m. for this particular one.
As I recall, doesn't he have a minor role in the movie?
I think Peter probably is in the film. I haven't rewatched it. I know he's an actor.
I'm almost positive.
Yeah.
You know the film. So you remember when they all get together at the, is it David Strayhorn, the character, David Strayhorn's house? I think he's one of the people who has dinner there.
I think Peter probably is in the movie. I have to go back and rewatch because I'm the one that's doing the interview with him. So I got to get my...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's there.
I got to get my facts all straight.
That's funny.
But no, I'm super excited to talk to him about the director, Chloe Zhao.
Who's made a very interesting turn, right? She's gone and done a Marvel movie, I believe, right?
Really? You know about Marvel?
I don't know. You might know more than me.
Yeah, she apparently...
It's possible. It's very possible.
A lot of people were very critical that how could somebody make a great independent film like that suddenly, you know the old phrase, sell out and do a Marvel movie or something equivalent. But, you know, hey, people make choices. That's just life. You're a filmmaker too, aren't you?
I am. I just wrapped on a project that I was shooting over the last few days, and you know what? The actors are going on strike as of like midnight
just in
tonight.
Time.
The
just
screen
in
actors.
Time.
So I shot my thing just in the nick of time because the actors are all hitting the picket lines at midnight.
What are they upset about? Is it pay or is it
pay? Come on. You see the right? They see that? Sorry.
I think it is. Partially, there's the whole debate around the AI stuff and AI taking over everything. There's different things they're fighting for, and you know, you gotta like respect. They deserve it.
Absolutely.
I'm glad they're fighting for what's what they need.
Right. But writers too.
Writers too. Like, hopefully, we can get through it.
I mean, you see how much the studios are making on these big ticket movies, and that money's just going to shareholders when it should be, you know, going to the people who actually create the value, in my opinion. But that's, you know, I just read today in the Times how higher prices on soda pop have created this boom for soda companies. And of course, that money's not going to the workers, it's going to you know, who owns stock in Pepsi. Anyway, that's a whole separate topic. What's your film about?
Well, so I'm making what's called, it's called The Misadventures of Bucky and Bean. It's about two DJs in upstate New York who are pretty liberal. Pretty liberal. You guys, they're running a pirate radio station, and they kind of are upsetting the locals who don't like their liberal.
Can you actually do that in today?
Their gay liberal agenda that they're like espousing on the airwaves. So
that's cool. And what, is it going to be, like, you're going to really name places, or is it going to be, you know, fictional? In the
sense? We name Catskill.
Cool.
It's in the opening line. It's like, you know, kind of like instead of Good Morning Vietnam, it's like Good Morning Catskill, New York.
Cool.
You know? So, yeah, we're naming Catskill. We're putting Catskill on there.
So is this your first fictional film? Because I know you've done documentaries, right?
No, I've done some others. It's narrative. When we did Thirsty, that was a live action narrative feature.
Thirsty,
and I've done. A lot of people confuse it to be a documentary because it's about a real person, Scott Townsend. But no, I've done some other narratives.
Cool.
But I do a lot of animation too.
Did you say animation?
Back to Nomadland. Back to Nomadland.
Yeah.
We want people to come out, you know, because it's also just like super beautiful in the park there in Athens. And the Stewart House, which is one of the sponsors of the series, they do this fun thing. You know, they have their, like, garden
the outdoor
grill.
Yeah.
And they do this fun thing where with each film, they come up with a special cocktail. I don't remember what the name of this one is, but, like, when we did War of the Worlds, you know, and Tu Wong Fu, they had, like, the special, they had the Chi-Chi-Tini or something for Tu Wong Fu. And $5 or something like that of every drink. It's the signature drink for each film night.
Uh-huh.
Goes back to the Athens Cultural Center. Because even though the film series is free, we have to pay for licensing the films.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to pay Mike, who's our technician.
I was going to ask you that about licensing. I didn't think it was like an appropriate question, but it does occur to me that do you have to pay for licensing when you show something outdoors, even though it's free?
Yeah. Yes, we absolutely pay the distributors to license the film to show it in the park. So it's, free to the public, but the cultural center does have to pay.
Yeah,
we have two sponsors. We have a NISCA re-grant through Create, and then we have another grant that helps support.
You could probably schedule Peter. Didn't he also produce the James Ivory movie? I can never remember the title of this movie with Timothy Chalamet.
Call me by your name. Call me by your name.
That's his. He produced that too, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So you could do that in the future, suggestion.
Yeah, we could definitely show it maybe next summer or something.
Yeah. So how do you pick? How do you pick your films? How do you decide? What's your criteria?
Well, there's a committee of us, so it's not just me. There's Annika Voigt and James Boulier, who are also on members of the Athens Cultural Center board, and we basically sit around and discuss movies and talk about what we think would be good to show, you know, to the public. It's a combination of we like to kind of bring back, you know, celebrated films that were from the recent past, like Nomadland obviously won the Oscar, and some more arty films that sort of tie into the exhibits that we have going on. So it's kind of a combo of, you know, art house films with, you know, larger films that kind of got through the won awards in the recent past, like that. So we try to make it kind of highbrow. Yeah.
Me and my arrow, straighter than narrow. Wherever we go, everyone knows it's me and my arrow.
Tune in or turn out to the July 18th edition of the Ukuleles Unleashed show on WGXC. This month it is broadcast live from the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Host Carmen Borgia and John Sturman are doing a reading and singing Harry Nilsson's The Point on ukuleles, and then doing their live radio show in front of an audience at the Bridge Street Theater. Admission is free to this WGXC event. Turn out or tune in to the Bridge Street Theater, 7:45 to 10 p.m. on Tuesday, July 18th at wgxc.org/listen and 90.7 FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hello. Today, HMM has the pleasure of attending the New York Farm to School Institute retreat here at the Maybe Historic Farm. Please welcome our guest, Stephanie Hsu. She is the Finesse Program Manager, which is spelled F-I-N-Y-S. I gotta say, I love that. How are you doing today, Stephanie?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming over here to Maybe Farm.
Of course, of course. Thank you for inviting us. We are really appreciative. As we know, you did do an interview with us prior to this one, but you know, for those who may be listening for their very first time, who is the New York Farm to School Institute?
This is our fifth year. We are putting on this program for anyone, school districts across the state who are interested in growing their farm to school programs. So for Finesse is a collaborative initiative and started by American Farmland Trust. We've been around since 2012. We are an initiative that what we really want to do is increase the amount of local food that's served in institutions across the state. So hospitals, early learning centers, schools, healthcare centers. So pretty much anyone who serves folks dining from the public plate.
Yeah, that's really awesome. You know, people who have to, or I wouldn't say forced, but you know, when you have to eat from the public school systems or just public systems in general, you just never know what you're eating.
Right.
You know, and I think it's really awesome, you know, what you and your team are doing. How can we as a community support the New York Farm to School Institute?
That's a great question. A lot of people are interested. They know about local food. They don't know the steps that it takes to actually get it into your school cafeterias and into the homes. We have a lot. So our school teams are made up of educators. They're made up of food service directors and staff, made up of school people on the school board, superintendents. We also have people who are interested, parents, right? I mean, if their kids are you know, they want to know what their kids are eating. And farmers and folks from the community. And so if you have a child who goes to a public school in New York, if you are interested in knowing what they're eating and you look at that menu and you say, hey, I don't see anything, I don't see local food on here, or maybe I do see some things, but I'd like to make it a regular feature, then that's something that you can raise with, you know, you could contact us, you could talk to your schools, you could talk to your educators, your food service directors, and tell them about the Institute. Tell them that you're really interested in farm to school.
Okay, folks, as we mentioned, we are on the scene and we are at the retreat, so there will be a little bit of a background noise that I cannot control. What is it like to train school teams on the principles of the New York Farm to School Institute?
That's also a great question. So a lot of folks, when they come in, they think farm to school is you know, one way, right? So a lot of times, the basic thing is thinking, okay, well, I want to get local food into schools. What we practice here at the New York Farm to School Institute and through Finesse is looking at it through a more holistic lens. And so what we do is approach farm to school through the three C's. So it's cafeteria, classroom, and community. And so looking at all those three areas, this is the way that you can approach it. You know, all the actions and all the programming that you do, that you want to make sure that you have a vibrant, sustainable community.
Being that you are a national organization, how have schools responded to your retreats in the past, and what are some things you have thought about implementing to get better responses?
Oh, I love that question. So, we are a national organization, American Farmland Trust. That being said, you know, what we do here in New York, we specifically are working in farm to school within our state. When we first started the Institute back in 2018, 2019, it was just gaining momentum. The governor had just put out his No Student Goes Hungry initiative and the 30% initiative, where students who are eating in cafeterias for lunch, if that school used 30% of local product, they would get a reimbursement of 25 cents per meal, and that was four times more what they had originally got. So it used to be 6 cents, and then for each meal it would be quadrupled, which was an amazing benefit for the schools. So So there was some momentum, but you know, people were a little tentative about it. They didn't know what to expect. This is now our fifth year. We've had an amazing response. There's, you know, I think it's still something that it's farm to school is daunting for folks. There's a lot of challenges involved getting local products into schools. It's hard for food service directors to, you know, with their work with their staff. A lot of times we know that there are challenges, particularly from the pandemic. So there were staff shortages, you know, supply chain issues, etc. We have a lot of dedicated school staff and parents and communities who want to see this happen, though. And so it's been gaining momentum, and so it's great. I think and the second part of your question was how we can improve or what things are happening. And we have a lot of new initiatives that we're looking forward to implementing. We have one of the things is since we've got this, we have an alumni network, and so we've got this wonderful base of all of these school teams. We usually do around 5 to 6 school teams a year, and they stay with us for this year-long program. And you know, they work on these wonderful action plans and goals. They create a value statement. They have, you know, they plan out a whole bunch of activities that they do after the year with us, and they want to stay connected. And so we have plans to create a community of practice with all of the alumni across the state. And there's a lot of people, too, who are champions of farm to school, but they don't have a support system yet. And so we're looking into doing some pre-institute activities with them as well to make sure that they're connected with us and also the people who are also partnering around the state to champion farm to school.
Okay. We're back, but we are joined by Olivia Fuller. Stephanie had to step off, but no worries. We do have a step in, and she is going to discuss the program as well. Basically, we were at the part where we're talking about how we get the school on board and how we get the teachers on board, but how do we bring the parents? You know, parents are so trusting in the school system alone with their children. You know, they leave their kids there for 8 hours a day, you know? So how do you come in there and say, well, hey, we got a new plan and we want you to jump on board for the next 18 years? How would you mind answering that?
Yeah, absolutely. So part of the New York Farm to School Institute is really focusing on what we call the three C's, and that's cafeteria, classroom, and community. And that's really where the parents come in and the family members at home. It's really important that there's buy-in at the family level and that the farm to school ethos kind of continues at home as well, as much as possible. So one thing that was really cool that happened during the pandemic was schools that were part of the Institute were sending home food bags for kids with the farm to school ingredients with instructions and information. So they were able to kind of bring that from the school back to home where the kids were able to have those foods with their families, and their families were able to be exposed to that kind of farm to school as well. So that's really, really important, and it's something that is kind of baked into the Institute curriculum, is how do we connect with the community. Sometimes they bring in farmers into the schools, and kids go, you know, visit the farms that are kind of in their backyard or that are in their local region. So they might go on a field trip to a local farm through the school. And then they know that farm, and they might go back there with their parents or with their families. And I think that really just kind of strengthens the community relationship and has people really, you know their farmer, know their food. So that is an important part of that, and is something that they kind of learn about and get inspired by what other schools are doing through the program.
Okay. And, you know, you mentioned the pandemic and the school lunches that were being sent on your organization's behalf. Now, would you say the pandemic affected your organization in a positive manner?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I think for a lot of people, yeah, that's it. It complicated that there were some silver linings in terms of people really wanting to know where their food was coming from, that they wanted to be able to access their food in a safe way, and being and going to like farmers markets were a little bit more open air than going into the supermarket and things like that. And people, you know, there was a lot of people shifting towards buying from their local farm too, at farm stores or being part of CSA
programs, community support agriculture programs. So I think that did have a positive impact. It's complicated, but I think it did kind of raise the general awareness, and I think that is definitely a positive thing, and hopefully is kind of a lesson that carries forward.
With all that being said, you know, we really appreciate you sharing your story here at the Hudson Log Magazine. Do you have any final words for our audience today?
Thank you for listening and for supporting your local farms. Currently, American Farmland Trust does the annual farmers market celebration. You can vote for your favorite farmers market anywhere in the country, and your farmers market can get recognition and a cash prize if they are the winner. So if you want to support your local farms, local farmers market, that's one quick and easy way to do so. It's markets.farmland.org.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Nancy Kern reports for Columbia Green Media that most towns in Greene County violate the state open meetings law, not posting their minutes publicly within 2 weeks of board meetings. The law is simple, quote, if the agency in which a public body functions maintains a regularly and routinely updated website and utilizes a high-speed internet connection, minutes shall be posted on the website within 2 weeks from the date of such meeting, unquote. But many towns and villages are many months behind in this legal requirement. Tannersville and Prattsville have not posted their minutes since March 2023, and Hunter last posted minutes in November 2022. Ashland was over a year behind in its postings, but after being contacted about the missing minutes, updated its website to be in compliance. But the town of Wyndham's website consists of dead links, not the required minutes. Hunter Village Clerk Kathleen Hilbert explained why they violate the law, saying, quote, we have no staff. I'm the only one here right now. We have no one to type the minutes. The whole board is aware of the situation. We would all like to see the minutes typed, but there isn't anyone to type them. I have to prioritize collecting tax payments, water payments, sewer payments, unquote. Hilbert also has audio recordings of the meetings that are not posted online. Durham Town Clerk Janet Partridge said Durham's town attorney, Tal Rapplier, tells the town to violate the law by not posting the minutes until the next month after the board approves the minutes at the following board meeting. Quote, I think this is the practice of many towns in Greene County, unquote, said Partridge. The newspaper looked at all of the Greene County websites, and the villages of Catskill, Wyndham, and Coxsackie, and the towns of Lexington and New Baltimore have all their minutes meetings posted. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News reports that Metro North Railroad service returned mostly to normal July 13th after several days of cancellations and delays after storms wreaked havoc locally July 9th and 10th. Metro North Railroad President and Long Island Railroad Interim President Catherine Rinaldi said, quote, the damage to the Hudson Line and Wissahick branch caused by Sunday's storm resembled the aftermath of Hurricane Ida, so to be able to get service back in 3 days is remarkable, unquote. Officials warned there could be a few canceled trains in the coming days because of continued work on the tracks. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that Durham's Hull O Farm is now included on the New York State Historic Business Preservation Registry. The more than 200-year-old farm is already designated as a National Bicentennial Farm, and on July 12th, State Senator Michelle Hinchey and Assemblymember Chris Tague turned out to the farm for the new honor. John Hull and his wife Sally were the original owners of the farm, and John was a Revolutionary War patriot. Now the farm produces more than 2 million pounds of milk each year. In 1990, the farm added the Hull O Farm's Pheasant Preserve, a state-licensed pheasant preserve. Tague said, quote, the family and farm have both adapted to whatever the world throws at it while still providing the best farm experience to their customers, and it is award-worthy, unquote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC Newsroom, wgxc.org. I'm Tom Rowe with the WGXC weather forecast from the National Weather Service in Albany, who predict a 70% chance of rain on Friday, with a high near 81 and a wind southeast 5 to 7 miles per hour spinning local windmills. There's a 40% chance of rain on Friday night, with a low around 64 and a southwest wind 3 to 5 miles per hour. Saturday, a 40% chance of showers and possibly thunderstorms after 2 p.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high of 85. and a low around 67. And then Sunday, there's an 80% chance of showers, possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m., with a high near 80 and a low around 66. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.